Friends, grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. So you've heard it. It's not fair, right? How often have you heard the phrase? If you have kids at home right now, you hear it maybe quite frequently. If not, you've heard it before. Maybe you've used it yourself. It's not fair. We've all been taught, I think, from a very early age that fairness is important, or that if you work hard, you'll get what you deserve. It's just part of who we are. You just watch a bunch of children playing, and at some point, you'll probably hear those magical words of keeping track. It's not fair. I bet many of you can remember things that you felt weren't fair, whether it was when you were younger or maybe right now in your lives. I always have these humorous things that I'm able to reflect back on my own childhood and laugh at some of those things. Like, I can distinctly remember my mom putting 8 broccoli crowns on my plate and 7 on my sister's. It is not fair. That I still remember these things from my childhood, and even more that I actually bothered to count the number of broccoli heads on my plate and on my sister's plate shows just how deeply ingrained fairness is with us. And I don't think I was unique as a kid. But it's not just children. We all want fairness, and we all have experienced it when people perhaps unfairly were rewarded with something that they didn't deserve, at least as we understood it. So we can understand the grumbling of the workers in Jesus' parable. The last in line to receive their wages, those who have worked a 12-hour day in the scorching sun in the vineyards. We understand why they were offended when they find out that those who worked for only an hour at the end of the day got paid the same daily wage as they themselves received. Something deep within us, when we hear that story, wants to shout out, "It's not fair!" Fairness is important to us. It makes sense to us. It helps us make sense of the world. It gives us assurance of some order in life. Fairness is based on what you do, what you deserve, how hard you work, the way you behave. Sometimes fairness means it's fair to get a reward, and sometimes fairness might mean it's fair to get punishment or the lack of a reward. So whether it's good or bad, you earn what you get, right? Well, Jesus tells a parable that does turn the world upside down. He shows us that God's sense of fairness is completely opposite from what is often our sense of fairness. So at quitting time, in this parable, the landowner tells his manager to pay the workers in reverse order of how long they've been working, beginning with the last and then going to the first. So those who worked for 1 hour, and then 3 hours, and then 6 hours, and then 9 hours, and then finally those who had worked 12 hours, they're the last in line, tired from the long day, and they are stunned. Stunned to find out that they are paid exactly the same wage as the others. 1 denarius, which is considered a day's wage. The fairness isn't that they weren't paid enough, or the unfairness. The unfairness, from their perspective, is that they were paid the same as the people who worked 1 hour. So hearing or presuming the workers to be grumbling, the landowner says to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? I choose to give to this last the same I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" Now, it's tempting to frame this whole parable around worldly economics, just around money, just around fair wages, things like that, and around the haves and the have-nots, or what, whether they get, who gets what they deserve. But remember how Jesus started this parable. Jesus is certainly concerned with the economics of this world. Jesus is certainly concerned with making sure that those who do not have are provided for, are taken care of. But this parable is bigger than that. The very first words, the kingdom of heaven is like, this is a parable about God's kingdom. And God, it turns out, is not fair. God does not play by our rules. God does not give us what we deserve, but the good news is that the first and the last together get more than they deserve. The first and the last together are in the kingdom of heaven. We get so turned around about order and fairness, and I'm pretty sure that's just Jesus messing with our desires. Desires that I think every once in a while need to be poked and messed around with. But we get so turned around about order and fairness that we just might miss the good news that both the laborers who were early and did much work, and those who were hired late, all of these are in, and only by the grace of God. It's not fair, but it is grace. So what does this mean for us? It means that no matter where you are in your journey with God, you have a place in God's kingdom. This is good news. It also means that no matter where another person is in their walk with God, they have a place in God's kingdom. And this is one of the hardest things, I think, for us to learn if we are concerned so much with fairness, because it's not fair, but it's God's grace. And this promise that both we have a place and all others have a place in God's kingdom just might give us some direction in our lives today, because Jesus often teaches that the kingdom of heaven is around us now. That promise may help us get over our need for fairness. That promise gives us eyes to see all people as beloved children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, even if they don't appear to have done anything that to have earned that distinction. It's not fair, but it is God's grace. And God gives us the grace to act just as unfairly, just as generously toward those who are in need. So I think first and foremost, the very first thing about this story is that it's not necessarily concerned with economics of fairness. But when we hear the good news, when we hear the promise, then we do receive that grace to be able to share. Since God gathers us together as a community of faith, to get glimpses and to share glimpses of the kingdom of heaven, we pray that our sense of justice, of fairness as a community, might here and there, now and then, reflect God's justice. What it looks like when both the first and the last are living in grace together. And I'll tell you a story, one example. That for as long as I've been a pastor, and even before that as a youth ministries director, people have always been concerned about fairness in one area of ministry. Actually, people have been concerned about fairness in many areas of ministry, but one specific example that has come to mind that I think fits perfectly with this story is about the fairness in confirmation ministry. It happens every year. At the beginning of the year, we lay out the expectations for confirmation. We expect that the youth and their parents will come to class together so that families have an opportunity to grow in faith, not just during that class, but then throughout the week. We expect the youth to participate in a certain number of retreats, camp experiences, other experiences that are intended to help the student grow in faith and fellowship and servant learning. We expect them to participate regularly in worship and Sunday school. There's a whole list, a whole lot of other expectations, and they're all written down on a sheet of paper, and they're discussed at the beginning of the year. But almost every year, without fail, when we're preparing for students to affirm their faith publicly, come October, to be confirmed, someone cries foul. "It's not fair," they say. "It's not fair that so-and-so didn't do as much as I did or as much as my child did, and they're still getting confirmed." I'm not saying this to pick on anyone. I'm saying this because I think we all have the propensity to think this way. It seems unfair because the latecomers or those who didn't put in the same amount of time and energy, that they still get the same final reward. In this case, confirmation. But just as the kingdom of God isn't something that's received in some far-off future, so the benefits of confirmation ministry, the benefits of any ministry that we do here as a community of faith is not just about the final reward. It's about giving us eyes to see God's kingdom in our very midst, in our present day lives, and to live in God's kingdom joyfully, to be a part of sharing a glimpse of God's kingdom all around us. It's not just about the final reward. It's about how each and every day we live our lives. And we need things like confirmation or worship or Sunday school or faith formation, any things, Bible studies. We need those things to help us catch glimpses of God's kingdom. Now, I know, you know, the argument then would be if we don't insist on people living up to the expectations, or else you can't be confirmed, if we just let anybody be confirmed who came in at the last hour or who didn't put in the amount of time and energy that we expected them to, what kind of precedent does this set? Will everyone start to put in the minimal amount, a minimal effort, because they see that it doesn't matter? The economics of the world says yes, that's what happens. But the economics of God's kingdom is different. In Jesus' parable, you can say the same thing. Will all the laborers in the vineyard start to show up in the last hour because they know that the master is going to pay them for a full day's work no matter what? There are parts of this parable that we can fill in. Because the vineyard in this parable, a parable points to something that's more than the story is. The vineyard is about God's kingdom. And God's kingdom isn't only about that final reward and the sweet by and by, but it's about the constant reward. It's about the continual living out in joy for God's kingdom, about the wonder and amazement at seeing God's kingdom breaking into the world around us. It's about living in that day to day. Again, whether we're talking about confirmation or worship or anything we do as a people of God, all of these things are about helping us to grow in faith and love, to have eyes to see God's kingdom and hands to share God's kingdom, to provide a heart-changing experience that transforms us to follow Jesus. And Jesus calls on us not to worry about who is first and who is last, who has put in the right amount of energy or who has just sort of skated by and showed up at the last minute. Don't worry about whether someone else is getting something unfairly. Instead, could we focus on the landowner of this parable? Could we focus on the generosity of God and how we experience that generosity? How we experience the wonder and amazement of God's kingdom around us? In the final analysis, Jesus says this is the kingdom of heaven. When all those who never showed up, those who have every excuse in the book not to participate in God's kingdom, or those who simply never got anything right and everyone else has just given up on them, when all of these simply show up to the party with their envelopes, their pay envelopes full, show up to the party to live in God's grace. It's not fair, but it is God's grace, and it is available for all. Thanks be to God. Amen.